You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
You know the deal. Successfully complete the mission, you get 10 years off your sentence. You fail to follow my orders in any way, and I detonate the explosive device in the base of your skull.
So this is the famous Suicide Squad.
Nom nom.
Any questions?
Hand.
Yes, that is your hand. Very good.
We're all gonna die.
I hope so.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Here's the deal. We fail the mission, you die.
If we find out any information you give us is false, you die.
If we find out you have personalized license plates, you die.
What? No.
If you cough without covering your mouth...
Harley, although that isn't an open invitation for you to cough without covering your mouth.
What's the plan?
How the hell am I supposed to know?
You're the leader. You're supposed to be decisive.
And I've decided that you should eat a big bag of dicks.
If this whole beach was completely covered in dicks, and somebody said I had to eat every dick until the beach was clean for liberty, I would say no problemo.
Why would someone put penises all over the beach?
Who knows why madmen do what they do?
This is suicide.
Well, that's kind of our thing.
I'm gonna get you out of here alive.
I'm going to get you out of here alive.
Oh my god! We've got a freaking kaiju up in this shit!
I don't wanna do your
dirty. I love the rain. It's like angels are splooching all over us.
Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome.
That's right. That's us splooging our love all over you.
Yep. Yes, welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome, where angels fear to splooge.
No, angels need not fear. The only thing we have to fear is that thing itself.
Is it? Yes, there is no fear. Everything's fine.
What's happening with our audio, guys?
We're fine. Ah. Everything's like totally great and no problems whatsoever.
Okay, great. Oh, yay. Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome.
Yay. Now let's make some more jokes about angels, Pooge.
No, we've done that. That's so passe. That was the last movie.
Oh, right. Okay. Hang on. Yes. So which Suicide Squad are we reviewing?
The Suicide Squad
of suicide.
The articles of suicide. This is not right. The way that I thought that this movie stream would start. Like, I mean, this would it? This is not where I thought this would go.
No.
This is
no,
not my beautiful again, life.
I didn't expect any of this stuff. I certainly didn't expect to be spending the entire night next to a giant pink fucking starfish.
Well,
it just keeps looking at me.
It just looks at it.
One eye.
It's looking at everyone. And hello to everyone in the chat as well. Hello, chat.
Hey.
Oh, yay.
How you all doing down there? I'd just like to say, it's a lockdown. Again.
Again.
you can see it. I think it'll be interesting to look at the last six or seven episodes of this show and watch our physicality just get more and more hunched. And in my case, more and more wider. And
No.
I gave blood last night and went and did that. Ooh. And they're like, hey, what's your weight? And I was like, this is my weight. And they're like, oh, your last weight was this. And I was like,
thanks. Yes.
Gee, thanks.
Also, like, whose blood did you give?
Anyone's that I could find.
Yeah. It's like, I donate a lot of blood. It's not mine, but I donate a lot.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's a good time. Not so much for the people that I take it from, but, you know.
Oh.
So, yes.
What are we talking about tonight?
We're talking about the definite article that is the continuation of the DC universe, cinematic, otherwise, whatever you want to call it.
Semi-sequel, semi-reboot.
the Suicide Squad. I love the fact that they're just like, you know what, let's see if we can actually wipe the slate entirely clean so that everybody forgets about the first one. Just call it the same name and nobody will be able to search for the original.
I'll never forget.
Boomerang's fucking spin.
Oh, fuck. Sorry, that just made me laugh. I was just reading the chat. Yes, Panda, that's amazing. You've got 6 lockdowns now and now you get a free North Face jacket.
Perfect. And on your 7th, you get a back injury.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when we get up to that kind of numbers in New South Wales, we just get a free trip on the Ruby Princess.
Oh.
So we can do it all over again.
Yay.
Anyway. That's some more lockdown humor. Sorry.
And you know where we go on the Ruby Princess? We go to Byron.
No, we don't. We go over to Western Australia because they haven't had it yet.
Yes. The charnel ship going across the WA. Anyway, that's dark and clearly this is where our heads are. So, yes, as you say, Jill, it is a weird kind of what? Reboot, sequel?
It's semi-reboot, semi-sequel. Definitely.
I give it a straight sequel.
I give it a sequel, soft reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. That's Is that your actual rating? Sequel, reboot, soft out reboot. Of 100.
Yeah.
Potential. I did like the someone had mentioned in another review is saying that this signals the end of the Snyderverse.
God, I hope so.
Because it's like, see where we had fun? It doesn't have to be dark and gritty or dark and shitty. Like,
yeah.
In this universe, it doesn't matter if Batman would kill a guy.
I think we kind of already done that with Shazam. Like, you know, Shazam is a fairly upbeat, chirpy little film.
I was going to say, let's put this in the same universe as Shazam and forget about all
the. Do you remember any of the other characters in Shazam, though?
There was Lady Shazam and Mark Strong and a worm.
Isn't Lady Shazam, well, it used to be Mary Marvel. Or I think is it Mary Shazam or Miss Shazam? Like, what is the name now?
I'm pretty sure she's legally not about to be Miss Marvel, though.
No.
who knows?
Yeah. But
yes. Who saw the first Suicide Squad? Which is just Suicide Squad. And who saw the they haven't released a remaster.
It was an extended cut, but not a director's cut.
Not an
because David Ayer has still never been allowed to go back and actually present the version of the film that he wanted.
Yes.
And now there's a whole bunch of people trying to get a David Ayer cut going. And I'm like,
Maybe in 3 years.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no interest in going back to watch Suicide Squad.
Hell no.
Again.
I mean, the first one was like a long enough waste of my time. I don't need to submit myself to an extended cut.
See, I am intrigued by it just because one of our friends that we know, Chris Moriarty, saw an early cut of the film and absolutely fucking raved about it. Reckoned that it was a really good, interesting film, did a whole bunch of cool stuff, and then saw the final cut that was released and went, that was not the same fucking film at all.
Wow. Yeah.
And the original cut had the Joker being the main villain. And
yeah, I remember they were pushing that in trailers very early on.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first one had that thing where, like, the first trailer came out and everyone was like, oh. And then they released the second trailer, which was all, you know, jukebox music and everybody having a fun time, and everyone went, oh yeah, that film. And so then they got the people that cut the trailer to cut the film.
Kidding me?
No oh
god.
And so that's god. Why
which was super
that
annoying
film is what it is.
That's super annoying because there were bits in the trailer, like when they're having jokes around a bar, that wasn't in the film.
And exactly,
but so, we're not here to talk about Suicide Squad.
What?
We're not here to talk about Suicide Squad. We're here to talk about the Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad.
If you do want to know our deep and angry thoughts about Suicide Squad, there are 2 reviews on the website. Yes. Dion and I both wrote reviews expressing how extremely unhappy we were.
How incredibly disappointed. And I felt actually incredibly disappointed when someone who I shall remain nameless came out of that film going, what a heap of shit. And then the next thing I saw was a lot of positive Instagram influencing stuff going out. And I was like, oh.
Okay.
Okay, dude, not right. Not right.
Yeah.
I saw you there and you were like, that was a heap of shit. And then you're like, wow, it's so great. It's wonderful. Here's a photo of me there. And I was like, oh, God.
What people can do for a buck.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is why we haven't been back to any premieres for a while.
No, that's because we're in lockdown, Quinny.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, did you forget?
That's because we're in lockdown.
And the last
premiere I went to was Fast and Furious 9, and I was deeply uncomfortable with the guy coughing next to me. But I didn't get sick. Oh. So, you know, but it also, it's made me very touchy about going. So I'm happy to sit at home and not watch that. And even though you've got people like Denis Villeneuve going, no, you have to see Dune in the cinema. It's part of, I don't even know if he sounds like that.
why does Denis Villeneuve sound like that?
I don't know, but he does now.
I'm the shit accent guy.
Yeah. You have to see it, you know, on the big screen. And I'm like, no, I'll happily sit at home and watch it, but I am going to
just sit really close to the TV.
Yeah.
Make it bigger.
Trust me, I'm going to be kinder to you knowing that, like, if the first words out of my mouth were, this would have been amazing on the big screen, I would be like, you've hit your point. That's the exact point. And as soon as everything gets back and they go, oh, we're going to replay Dune on the big, on 70 millimeter IMAX, I'll be like, there, ticket, sold, want to go.
Yep, yeah. Though, interestingly enough, this film was shot on IMAX and I was like, oh, that would have been interesting to watch. Of course, we don't really have an IMAX in Sydney, but whatever.
Not anymore.
We're getting one. Will you just calm down?
No, I'm impatient.
There was one.
They knocked it down to do it again.
Yeah.
Do it again, but this time make it look like a melting toaster.
Jesus. No pleasing some people.
You're right.
Yeah. Just remember.
When it comes to this movie, I'm not happy.
Oh. Jill's
trying to get us back on track. Fuck.
Jill's putting the foot down already. So. Should we find out what happens in this film?
Please.
Sure. Should I roll the music?
Is it going to be?
Don't roll the music.
Roll the music.
Please don't.
Sure.
Right. Okay. I was going to do it in like Grindhouse voice, but now the music is entirely wrong for Grindhouse.
It's the only track. I haven't updated it.
God damn it, Dion.
It's still a Nirvana track from Black Widow, but it's appropriate.
Okay. Jesus Christ. The government sends the most dangerous supervillains in the world. Bloodsport, Peacemaker, King Shark, Harley Quinn, and others to the remote enemy-infested island of Corto Maltese. Armed with high-tech weapons, they trek through the dangerous jungle on a search-and-destroy mission with only Colonel Rick Flagg on the ground to make them behave. That is the really short official synopsis.
Oh my God, that was it? I was waiting for the rest of it.
Me too. I was like, okay. There's all the bits about politics and aliens and the thinker and stuff.
Why didn't you read it like Spotswood from Team America? The Suicide Squad needs to be able to... Gary, oh sorry, Peacemaker, I need you to suck a man's cock.
Okay.
Anyway.
I mean, I can do a longer one, but honestly, sure. Do you want to?
No, this is the thing. We go. You know what this movie is kind of about. Supervillains in jail, going to go do suicide mission. People are going to die. That's why you want to watch it. Or when people were reading the comic, they wanted to see characters die.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to clean the slate and take useless characters like Polka Dot Man. Out, hey. Finally. Off the thing. What?
Kind of like me some Polka Dot Man.
Well, you're about the only one, Quinny.
Oh, no. I was into Polka Dot Man. I was like, okay. I mean, not before this film. Before this film, I didn't give a fuck about Polka Dot Man, but, you know.
All of this is fun because what's the best thing? Writers get given a bunch of characters where they're given free rein and they can kill whoever they want or have them work around different situations because they're not a property, like in inverted commas. So they can just do whatever the fuck they want. And hence you get the well-written and fun books, The Suicide Squad, and then you get terrible movies that get decent sequels, like The Suicide Squad.
See, I remember looking at that first film, and like the Suicide Squad has been attempted a few times. Like they had a go at doing it in Smallville. I'm pretty sure they had a go at doing it in Arrow. Like the concept of doing the Suicide Squad as, or Task Force X has been, you know,
is that 'cause they
tried many times.
Is that because they couldn't get Weapon X?
Absolutely. And I think the smart decision that James Gunn made this time round was go, okay, we're not going to try and go for any cool characters. Like, what are the dopiest fucking characters that I can get my hands on that I'm allowed to do whatever the fuck I want with?
Yeah.
And I think... So, okay, Jill, I get the impression that you're not a big fan, so tell us your feelings on this film.
Oh, God, I don't even know where to start. I think I can sum it up in that the whole of Idris Elba's, like, aura in this movie was, like, a mood. So that bit in the trailer where someone said, oh, we're all going to die, and then Polka Dot Man's like, yeah, I hope so. And then Idris is like, oh, fuck. I'm like, yep, I'm feeling it. I was like, oh, fuck.
Jill's mood was like, I don't want to know these jokes or funny situations. Just kill some fucks.
Oh, God. It's like, no, I wasn't, you know what? As weird as it is to say, I really felt that the opening where everybody was just slaughtered was too gratuitous. I'm like,
wow.
So this is probably not the spot for me.
Just going to look for that spoiler lord warning.
Fuck off with this.
It is quite literally the first 5 minutes of the film.
Yeah. I don't know. It just felt, I'm like, obviously that is what the audience is there to see. Just like a bunch of human carcasses being blown to smithereens. And that's what you got. But I was just like, oh, fuck, okay. Well, whatever. I felt bad for all the actors that were plugging this movie, that they were like a star in it and they all got killed in the first 5 to 10 minutes.
There are a few that I specifically feel really bad for. The actress who played Mongal.
Yep. I felt bad for Flula Borg as well. Like, he's been like pimping the shit out of Javelin, like going, oh, look at me, I'm in this movie, I'm a superhero now. I'm like, okay, this guy's got a big role. And then I'm watching the movie, I'm like, oh, fuck, okay, he's dead. And funnily it was enough, weird that it was like all from the perspective of Michael Rooker's character, and then he just gets killed. And I'm like, what is this movie? Yeah, and then Sean Gunn just being himself as a giant rat man with the, like, didn't even have to do hair and makeup for it. And I'm just, you can't wow, tell me you looked harsh at that character and said, oh, that's not Sean Gunn. Like, come on.
And it's not that I like that Sean Gunn is in there completely au naturel, no special effects whatsoever. But then they digitally inserted Sean Gunn into the film later on to make it look more like the version of Sean Gunn that we've all seen. I've now said Sean Gunn way too many times.
So, yeah, oh, okay, right off the bat, like, spoilers. Because, you know, yeah, tonight we have to talk about spoilers and later the census, the really important thing.
Oh, are we going to do it live on air? That'll be great.
Sure, why not right now? It's census night. So, you know, I put a little graphic thing, you know, just wait there.
There somewhere.
Just here. It is census night. Get your census on. You can fill it out online while you're listening to us or in a paper form if you're from 1912.
Or a boomer. Yeah.
maybe don't encourage them to multi-screen us, you know, just for tonight.
Sure. But like,
oh, wow.
Attention to us. Please.
Sorry, I do quite like Meat Shield's comment there. I feel bad for Australian film and television actor Jai Courtney,
who got ejected
from the best role he's ever had.
Yes, we all feel something for Australian film and TV actor Jai Courtney. Mainly it's a sense of national pride in having to remind everyone that he's Australian film and TV actor Jai Courtney and yes, not just some random that got smeared by a helicopter.
I'm glad that he died in this one even after surviving the first one. I'm like, we don't need to see any more of Australian film and television actor, sure, Jai Courtney.
I think
But I feel like we could have seen more of Australian film television after Joe Courtney. I mean, I'm sure we could have.
Could you? Do you? Can you ever get enough of Australian film and TV actor Jai Courtney? He's a hot property in Hollywood. You would have seen him in Terminator Genesis.
Oh, yes. I do remember Australian film and television actor Jai Courtney being in Terminator Genesis.
For fuck's sake.
Yes, Meat Shield, Pride.
Yes, yes, Pride. He already had his best bits, which was finding a beer in the first one, and that was it. There's a fight going on. He's like, oh, beer. Yep, no worries. No, you're all good. Yeah.
So, perfect. Thank you, Amy, for actually looking up the Wikipedia. Jai Stephen Courtney is an Australian actor.
Yes.
He started his career in small roles in film and television series. Well done.
Australian film and TV actor Jai Courtney. I think if I ever get to interview him, I won't be able to help myself. look, did it feel to you in this one that it was a very much a transitional film? And I say that because it's transitioned style and sort of tone, whereas the first one was a little too serious with some forced jokes that didn't quite match. And this one was like, we're going to have some fun now, but also do it in a very deadly and kind of slight, not horror, but like gory way. And it was a very kind of big break. And I think that that's what they did with the whole people dying everywhere. They tried it really well. I thought the first Suicide Squad movie where, you know, one character goes to leave and immediately gets killed. And it's like, oh, okay, so no one's safe. We understand that that's how this kind of works now.
Nobody's safe apart from the fact that he was the only one that didn't get an intro with music and stuff like that. So we all knew nobody gave a fuck about that guy.
Well, telegraphing is a thing.
Yes.
That happened. But this one I kind of enjoyed, and I won't call it the magic of it, which is like, here's all these cool characters that we're going to have and big names in there. All right. But then we're going to get rid of them. Like I absolutely loved that they did that because you know that there's ringing people up going, do you want to be in a movie? Maybe. What's the movie? It's like, well, it's this, you wear this costume and then you die like immediately. Yeah.
Nathan Fillion, you get to be on set for a day and a half, you wiggle your arms, and then you die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was some funny moments in that opening.
I'm going to put it on the line and say I really enjoyed myself and had a fucking ball with it. So in that sense, I feel like Jill and I are going to be on opposite sides of the things. I really enjoyed Idris Elba's attitude, that whole, for fuck's sake.
Yes, yeah, I was on board with that.
But I actually really got into it. And that first 5 minutes of gratuitous death, I mean, I did have a few moments where I went, oh, that was a bit much. That's his actual head gone.
There was a lot that was a bit much.
Yeah. But
this does not bode well for Friday's show of intermediate horror. You're like, oh, that's a bit much.
But I liked it. I like the idea that, yes, here's a full cast of characters who we're going to, you know, give a tiny bit of time to and then kill them all off, like really spectacular. I enjoyed that. I was all down for that. And, I mean, I think it's interesting because the first film was kind of following on from maybe not Snyderverse, but where DC was at that time, which was grimdark.
Yeah.
And so I think that first Suicide Squad was trying to do something like this, but in grimdark DC land. Mm-hmm. You know, it still had Ben Affleck's Batman in it.
Yeah.
It had The Flash in it. Nobody remembers that The Flash was in it, but he's in it.
Yep.
You know, it was all part of that thing, whereas this one is kind of like, I mean, technically, all of those characters are still around, but this one is now just in the goofy end of the DC universe. And I like playing in that particularly fetid gene pool.
Yeah, I mean, especially when we rave about stuff like Doom Patrol and Legends of Tomorrow that are full-on goofy. I enjoyed the humor elements and some of the stuff yeah, there were just moments that I wasn't a fan of.
And that's completely fine because, I mean, it is fairly, I mean, it really leans in hard on the gore.
Yes, yeah.
Like, it, you know, when characters die, they die in a
way that makes Quinny just pause to
possibly
reflect.
Yeah,
there we go. Yeah,
in a blaze of no glory.
Yes.
In a blaze of no glory where Quinny's just so devastated by everything, he just has to stop and freeze for a second to process the whole thing.
I don't know what I said. But basically, there's a lot of blood and that's going to put a lot of people off. And like Annalise started watching it and then she was like, nah, not for me, I'm out.
Oh.
Yeah. I can understand that.
I don't understand. Like, why do people not know what they're getting? You know, this is not James Gunn with the reins of Marvel going, no, you can't do that bit. This is a bit like, hey, I made Slither, so I'm going to do that, right? And they're like, yeah, sure, please rescue the franchises. You know, whatever
and
you
look,
do.
Obviously, with the R rating, he was allowed to go as gung-ho as he wanted to with the violence, and that's what we got.
Yeah. I think anyone who was looking at it expecting another Guardians of the Galaxy. No.
Maybe in, like, the last half of the movie. Yes.
Yeah, sure. I think you are quite right. The start of it is kind of intentionally shocking. I didn't find it had a lot of playful attitudes in the first part. And that's where I thought it was maybe a bit of a strange intro. Like, I agree. Yeah. I kind of agree with that. That's why I said this movie feels like a very big separation from the rest of the DC universe and the way and the first film and everything, because it just opens with what you would consider sort of confronting, you know. The only sort of place I've seen that has been Deadpool, but Deadpool is open with jokes and jokes and jokes and jokes.
Yeah.
It was just as gory. Like, if you go back and watch that car chase scene where he's killing people and shooting nameless goons, it's just as gory as the
it is.
The Suicide Squad.
Maybe not as many like half heads and stuff.
Oh,
except where there's like
that classic, like old school samurai thing with like slicing and sides off. Yeah,
I enjoyed that.
What do you mean? They all committed suicide. They weren't killed by anyone.
What I did find interesting, I thought Amanda Waller's character was a little different this time around. Like, she seemed like she was a bit more of a bitch this time.
A bit more bloodthirsty. But then again, like, I was also slightly disappointed that there are only four female characters in the film. And all four of them were boring.
Oh, I like Ratcatcher.
Oh, yeah, don't you come for my rat catcher.
No, yeah. I'm not going for it. Like, I kind of, like, there was a little bit in there. Like, I get what you're saying about Amanda Waller. I kind of like Amanda Waller because, you know, she came back in. I'm like, she's great. Like,
yeah,
she is a good character, hands down, all the time. But then when I, like, especially when I was adding all of these images of characters onto the screen for tonight, I was like, holy shit, there's only, like, two women. What's going on? Like, where are the other women? And in the film, there are only four major characters who are women. It's very weird.
Did you guys find that Harley just did not shine in this movie?
I think they were specifically trying to not have her shine too much.
Mm.
Like, they were returning her to being a part of the cast as opposed to a lead. Because, I mean, if you look back at Suicide Squad 1, she was very definitely kind of the breakout. She then gets her own film, you know, well, I mean, technically a Birds of Prey film. And I think this one they were trying to sort of go, okay, yes, she's here. She's still the same character. She's still important, but she's now part of the ensemble again. And that was how I took it. But
I think I'm very happy to let Margot have a break now.
Yep.
Like, just, you don't need to punch out anymore. Like, Harley Quinn's okay, but there are so many other women in DC that could do the same sorts of things. And also I think that she'd be like, yeah, can I have a break from playing this character for a while?
I think she's done with it for a while. I think she's actually come out and said that she's gonna put Harley on the shelf for a bit, which I don't blame her. I mean, pretty physical role. I enjoyed her running through the place and shooting everything with flowers and shit going everywhere.
Yeah. That was like the one moment that was like really great for her character and the direction and everything like that. But yeah, just kind of like when she joined up again with the group and then she's kind of like cracking these dumb jokes and I'm like, I don't know. I think they did her dirty in this movie.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like there's some comments in the chat about the javelin.
Yeah.
That was weird. Yeah. That was just kind of weird.
Yeah. But then again, I mean, maybe if there'd been a little bit more time spent with the character of Javelin, Fluleberg, beforehand, that maybe if there was some kind of indication that maybe he had some mystical belief in the power of his javelin as opposed to just dying with it and giving it to her.
this is the thing. We're talking about the Suicide Squad, but without giving too much away, because we've already spoiled it enough. There are two Suicide Squads in this film. There is the one that we thought we were going to get, and then there's one that was actually in there, which is actually a tactically sound narrative choice of like, yeah, we're sending in this squad that they all know are going to come. And they're going to do this full frontal assault.
And with all these characters.
With all these characters who are basically bait. While we send in another stealthier squad who are potentially a little bit more competent, who will be able to reach the objective while everyone's distracted by the false attack.
Though technically, I mean, Flag was actually in charge of the incompetent squad, so.
Which is great to sort of. As I said, a little acknowledgement there that they're like, no, we're going to kill all these people that you knew and loved because the actors are sick of playing. I mean, they don't want to do that. I mean, we just need to create space in our narrative universe in order to do that.
Yeah, because Australian film and television actor Jai Courtney has other roles that he needs to go on to play.
Does he, though?
No. Of course he fucking doesn't.
I mean, I'm not sure how many. I've seen enough. films with Australian film and TV actor Jai Courtney in them.
Oh. Panda says the original script had a third squad featuring Kite Man and Clayface, and I would have been fucking here for that.
Kite Man! I want to see Kite Man on the big screen. Oh my God.
See, I love all of the goofy ass, you know, like not even second string DC villains. No, I love Polka Dot Man and Kite Man. And Calendar Man and you know.
Calendar Man was in it. I saw Calendar Man.
Yes, I know, right? And I'm like, fucking Calendar Man? Really?
I'm like, damn, yeah.
All we needed was the Condiment King and we would have been fucking there. You know, all this that kind of stuff is.
You could still do this in Two Squad, Two Suicide, like the sequel to the Suicide Squad. You know,
You know what? I'd be happy if they did. I don't think they're going to go back to this particular well again anytime soon.
Are you sure?
It hasn't made great money, unfortunately.
Well, look, there's some extenuating circumstances on all of that kind of thing, and I'm not going to judge. Like in the last 2 years, I'm not judging any film on a box office performance. I'm judging every.
Just a question: who was the main lead of Suicide Squad?
I would say Harley.
The main person that you were following would have been Rick Flag or the Enchantress.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was Will Smith, and you've all forgotten him.
Yes.
You had me, Quiddy. That was good. You got me. Who the fuck's Will Smith?
Exactly.
He's Deadshot.
Deadshot, as Who? Opposed to Bloodsport.
Deadshot.
Yeah. Quite literally just
very much the same dude. Person. They look exactly the same.
I don't fucking know who the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that. Yeah, I forgot he was in there.
Yeah. So would I. Until I watched this and then I watched the trailer for the first Suicide Squad again and I went, oh. Hello, Will. I forgot you were there.
I forgot Rick Flagg was in the first one, to be honest. And I thought Joel Kinnaman killed it in this movie.
He did. I actually think he had a lot more fun to do in this movie. Like it was a bit of a thankless, unfunny role in the first one. This one
very it was very forgettable.
Yes. Yeah. But I thought it was interesting because if you look at sort of the squad makeup from the first one, this one has a few very similar things. You're like, you've almost repeated the film in some ways, but they're not.
Okay. Well, did we
like the look of it?
I was going to say, because we're talking about characters, who from the new Suicide Squad stood out for you? Anyone?
Yes.
You've got a few characters to choose from.
Yeah.
Yes. I think by the end of the movie, I really liked the new core team. I'm not going to spoil anything.
Mm-hmm. Why stop now? We've already
spoiled. I loved Ratcatcher, and I did like Bloodsport because his mood and my mood were like, we were vibing through that movie. Rick Flag. I thought he was like the MVP in this film.
I really
liked him. And also, like, Joel Kinnaman's a hottie, and I was here for it.
But, nice.
Yeah.
I was all about Nanawe. Like, I had a moment of absolute fucking horror when I thought Nanawe had died.
Oh no.
I was like,
I can make him prominent. There we go.
No.
Oh no, not Nanawe.
Yeah.
Who is King Shark?
Yes.
Who? Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. Like,
he's the new Vin Diesel. Just doing voices.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I love it. I did see a photo from on set of who the person was in the suit. There wasn't, like, it was just, you know, a big fat thing with some eyes on it. So that
I am Shark. Yes, we know. That's all you should say. I am Shark.
Yeah. Yep. Bird.
Will he have a little, like, version of himself and it'd be like Mini Shark?
Oh, totally. Baby Shark.
Baby Shark. Baby Shark. No, that's Baby Starro. Baby Starro, do 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 do.
No, please. No, please.
We will talk about Starro a bit more when we get to the spoiler section. But I really liked Polka Dot Man because for a fucking concept that is so dumb, there was something about it that I found.
He was psychologically horrifying.
Yes, and also physically horrifying too. I was like, oh, that's actually...
It was a really interesting concept on his power.
Yeah.
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 Then the psychology that went along with it, and you're like, oh no, that's bad.
I had a problem with the stereotype of the physical representation of his mother.
Yeah.
True.
I had, image problems with that.
Yeah. Fair. Speaking of image problems... after seeing the film, how do we all feel about them doubling down onto Peacemaker?
He was my least favorite character. I kept seeing was a sausage in a silver helmet. Like, John Cena is like weirdly thick and like not ripped thick, but just like he looks like a sausage. It looks like someone's like squeezed the casing on the sausage, and it's all looking a little bit funny.
It looks like a condom.
Put some walnuts in the sausage.
Yeah,
he has no definition in his biceps. It's just an arm with some veins on it. It was weird.
It looks
weird to look at.
Looks like a condom full of walnuts.
Yes.
And like compared to some of the other guys that were like very like fit for this movie,
like Australian film and TV actor Jai Courtney.
No, I was like comparing more with like Joel, who was in a lot of the same scenes as him, but like they were both like of comparable height and build, but John is just like thick.
Yeah. he's a massive chunk of man and not necessarily a nice chunk of man. He's the big piece of meat that you probably wouldn't order in the restaurant.
That's kind of what he is, but also like he can be surprisingly comedic.
Oh yeah.
I've seen stuff on like that he's done, which is like, wow, he's actually quite funny.
I think he has good timing and he's a decent actor, but I did not like his character. And
I don't think we're meant to like his character.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think that's a choice.
Yeah, and so I'm
which
curious.
I think is such a weird decision that's going to be the character that gets a spin-off TV series.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I would like to see the Peacemaker show if they reincorporate some of those weird D-listers into the show. Like, if Polka Dot Man turns up, or if Ratcatcher 2 turns up.
Or Ratcatcher 1.
Sure. Like, I mean, wherever the wind blows, but I kind of feel like, unless there is some more character development than this movie showed, that they show in the TV show, it's going to run out of its joke real quick.
Yeah.
Because I think even halfway through this film, I was like, okay, that's Peacemaker. I don't care about Peacemaker.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be mined out of a character like that. And I'm hoping that that's where they're going to go with it, which is that whole thing of I'm you know, all about peace, but I will kill every man, woman, and fucking child around here to make sure that I get my peace.
Burn for freedom.
That's very much of American foreign policy. And
sure. What was that? Yeah. There was another Marvel character like that who had the American flag tattooed on his face, and he was just like the guy that the military sent in when they were like, okay, so these villagers need to be cleared for freedom, right? And he's like, sure, and just went and did it and was a total psychopath. And everyone's like, yeah, superhero, great.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, I'm not sure how the Peacemaker thing still doesn't. I don't understand. Why the helmet? Why the outfit? I don't fucking know.
I mean, I like it because they lifted it straight out of the comics. Like, that is absolutely perfectly the comic. And you're like, oh, that's what happens when you translate a Kirby design directly to the screen. Looks fucking dumb, and he looks like he's wearing a toilet seat in his head.
Sure. At least I can say that. Was there anyone else that you liked in the thing? I'm only saying this because we should go to a clip and then come back and do the full spoilery thing.
Yeah. Well, are we going to rate it as well before?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, yeah. I think that would make sense.
You know, did you have a good time?
I very definitely did. So, but I don't want
to. By the end of it, I did find some enjoyment from it. Wasn't my favorite movie. But there was some things that I liked. Yeah. I didn't completely hate it.
Okay. That is damning by faint praise, but I loved it. I actually had a lot of fun. Once you get past that first bit of like, oh shit, okay, right, there's a lot of horror and violence and stuff like that. Mm. I liked that there were a bunch of people who didn't get on well and everything was a bit difficult. I really enjoyed it. And I thought the action stuff, was good. Worked for me. Worked real well. Dion?
Look, it's a nice departure from the first one. As in, like I say, this one was entertaining. It had
yes.
Come on. In terms of where you started with, at least this one wasn't just a letdown. It's a very different kind of film, and I think it tried to say a few deeper things about the state of geopolitics than anyone is expecting. Which is always kind of a good thing, but I'm not sure that we had enough fun by the end of it. Although I kind of like the fact that, you know, put them all in a big pot and start shaking and some people fall out and the ones that are left are there for a reason and that reason is kind of explained, and I like that. That was good. So did I have a good time going through it? Yes. Did I want to see more of those twists along the way? Absolutely. Because there's a couple of twists in there where I was like, that's fucking hilarious that you've just done the thing and you've realized you've made a terrible error. Great.
Yes.
Love it. Good storytelling. Yep. I'm down for it. But, I did have a lot of fun, but I can't exactly say that it was an amazing film. But still better than Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time. Also, when you asked about favorite characters, I forgot. Mm. Milton.
Oh, Milton. Milton. Right in the heart, man.
Thoughts and prayers for Milton.
Thoughts and prayers. Yeah. Thoughts and prayers for Milton.
I need to light my little.
Yeah.
So good. We're going to go to a clip. I'm sure that Dion has arranged an amazing clip, and if it's Elf, I am going to scream.
You're going to rate it?
No.
That's the thing that we do, don't we?
Yeah, well, what do you start then? Because you were unprepared.
as punishment for trying to go too early. Yes.
And tell us in the chat rating. Too, have you got a rating for it? Has anyone seen it in the chat? You tell us if you've got a rating for it. And Quinny, I'm also making you go first unprepared because you're wearing a Wolverine shirt to a DC film review. So what the fuck, dude?
Jill is representing appropriately. I'm so sorry.
I think the only T-shirts I own are Batman T-shirts, to be honest.
Same with me in Star Wars, but I wore at least a Rage shirt to maintain the rage.
In spite of all your rage. What am I going to give it? I'm going to give this one an 83. I had a lot of fun with it. I really enjoyed it. I thought there was there were elements in it that I was like, oh, yeah, finally we're actually going to have a go at doing that on the big screen. And then was kind of like, oh, right, okay, cool. Like, we'll get to it in spoiler stuff. But that I really enjoyed. And I liked a whole bunch of the characters. And I liked that they were actually given enough time to breathe here and there. Like, there are sequences where characters really get enough space to actually sort of show you a bit of who they are, and that mm-hmm. works. And when we first saw the cast list and everything, I thought, oh, fuck, this is going to be like a big old, you know, just people everywhere. Nobody gets much time. But, no, I really enjoyed it. So 83 for me.
I'll save Jill. You can go last, Jill, because you didn't have the best time with it that I think that Quinny and I did. So leave your low ratings to the end.
Fine. Just for that, I'm going to give it 100.
Oh,
no.
It's all coming into play. I'm going to give it 84 because I wanted to be one above Quinny with my enjoyment. But also, how can you not love a film that goes like that takes some really shitty characters and develops them quite well while also getting rid of annoying ones in fun ways? And also the soundtrack's kick ass because it's a James Gunn film, so I really enjoyed the soundtrack.
That is true.
Yeah. It was all, you know, it was all the sets were lovely. All of the framing was in focus.
Wow.
No, that's what you say. You remember those things? It's like, oh, how? What do you think of the play? It's like, oh, the sets were lovely.
Wow. Harsh.
No. Yeah. Anyway, so that's 84.
Okay, 84 for you. Lovely. And Jill.
And I'm going to bring it down to 60. Giving it a 60.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I did find moments of enjoyment, but there were far too many things that were problematic for me that caused me to give it a 60.
Yep.
Some things being like it's stupid. The gratuitous violence. I really found the opening to be like too over the top. I don't know. I was just, maybe I wasn't in the mood for it. I didn't like the portrayal of a stereotype figure. I didn't like that it took too long to get to the actual point of the movie, in that being Starro. I'm like, why did it take so long to actually get there?
Because it was kind of explained in the first half hour and then it just...
Took way too long to get to that point, which kind of is the whole like climax and point of the movie. So again, it was starting to give me like Suicide Squad vibes, where like that plot was just all over the place. hated Peacemaker. And I really felt like Peter Capaldi was wasted as the Thinker. I'm like, what Agreed. The hell was even the point of him being there? But things I did love were some of the cinematography, the use of instead of like putting text on a screen, like the creative use of using the environment as a segue into the next scene was really clever. And some of the directorial moves of like shooting a fight scene in the reflection of a helmet. It was like some really clever stuff. And the few characters that did make it to the end, I really enjoyed.
Nice. That sounds completely fair.
All right. Well, let's go to a clip, and then we shall come back and talk about the continuation of the spoiler section.
We've been sort of dancing around it for a while. Yeah,
thanks for joining in on our census of taking a snapshot of statistics about what we all thought of the movie tonight. And don't forget to fill out your own census in Australia so that the government knows where to allocate money.
I mean, how are they going to pour money into car parks if they don't know where you live?
Yeah, yeah. How are they going to know which are the areas that they need to put money into in order to get you to vote for them? Anyway, let's go to this clip. Okay, bye.
Super villains. Sad souls in costumes. Wanting you to think they're all dark and deep. What's it like living life as a punchline? But all it would take would be one blessed act of rebellion for you to restore your dignity in its entirety.
You know the deal. Complete the mission, you get 10 years off your sentence. You fail to follow my orders in any way, and I detonate the explosive device in the base of your skull.
Love him or hate him, these are your brothers and sisters for the next few days.
Any questions?
Hand?
Yes, that is your hand. Very good.
We're all gonna die.
I hope so.
Oh, for God's sake.
We fail the mission, you die.
If we find out any information you give us is false, you die.
If we find out you have personalized license plates, you die.
What? No.
I do like that that is the one thing that they stole or repeated from the first Suicide Squad is that whole, you do this, you die. You do this, you die.
Yeah, like, we know what it's about.
Yeah.
You die.
I like that. I like that little bit of a reference and a throwback in the I watched, and that was one of the only things that I laughed at in the first film, which is if you do this, you die. If you vex me, you die. And then Harley's like, I'm known to be quite vexing. Yeah. I was like,
Wasn't the person who stands in for
yes, Michael
King Shark, isn't he the computer guy from the room? Steve G. There's a little bit of trivia for you. I think it's the same person anyway.
Okay. John Economus is the character's name.
John Economus.
Aggie or whatever. Yes.
Yes. That'd be the same.
You are correct.
All right.
So they're an interesting group of characters that we didn't mention at all.
You mean James Gunn's girlfriend the rest of them?
Well, I wasn't going to go with that one. I would have said the chorus, if you will.
The ops team.
The nerd chorus. Those CIA hacks with a bunch of computers who just sit there and their job is to follow people.
And literally say the thing that the audience is thinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
So would you call that a geek chorus?
Get out.
I'll show myself out. Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah. God.
What? Are you sure? No. All right. I've been great. So I'll see you later. Bye.
Have you?
Oh.
I'm going to do the Thor meme. Have you though?
So, yeah, I like those characters. I don't think they were necessarily as important. Like, there's a lot going on.
The mutiny was great.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, holy shit, okay. It kind of woke me up.
Yeah, yes, actually very much so. You're like, oh, right, okay. Yeah. Shit's gotten serious. There are a few characters in there, like Blackguard. I think he's pretty much the first to die.
Oh, I was so glad. I hate that guy.
Not a Pete Davidson fan?
I'm not a Pete Davidson fan. Fuck him. Shit. Right.
But Pete Davidson's getting a lot of tattoos removed so he can take more roles.
Oh, please don't.
Yeah, leave him on, buddy.
Like the least funniest person in SNL.
Get someone on your face. Yeah, get some more in your face.
Yeah, glad he cocked it straight away.
Right. So you were saying before that Capaldi really gets kind of screwed on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, there's not even a point to having the thinker in this movie. It, that role, that character could have been anything, could have been anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. And I think.
No. Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, what do you think? We don't understand what you're thinking.
Sorry, dude, you froze again.
Jesus Christ, this fucking internet.
You like the, hey, that's, you voted for the NBN, Quinny. What can I say?
No, I'm on the LBN, you know, loser broadband network.
Oh, we are all on the LBN, Quinny. Yeah. We're in Australia.
I was just saying that, with the backloading of the story and the Starro stuff and everything, really holding back on that until basically the last act of the film, mm-hmm. I think there's a. It also puts Capaldi into the pretty much just the last act of the film.
Yeah.
And there are moments where there's that bit of Capaldi that you're like, oh, yeah, that's that guy from In the Thick of It. And I'm looking forward to seeing him swearing and going off his head and everything. Mm. And he just doesn't get enough time, doesn't get to do enough.
See, it would have been different if he was in the squad that was going in to try and stop all of this stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, this was our dude on the inside and now he's going in with you because this is the only way you can get in or something.
Yeah, like, and he is actually intelligent, like everyone else in the squad or something.
There's no indication of actual intelligence there at all. Turns out the real villain was government all along.
Well, yes. I mean, that's sort of the understated statement of the film, really, isn't it?
Sure.
I need to get mad about something.
Go on, get mad.
It's super spoilery, so close your ears if you haven't watched the movie.
Okay.
I was so fucking pissed that they killed Rick Flag. Fuck you, Peacemaker. I hate you, you son of a bitch, because there was totally a spark there that there was going to be romance with him and Harley, and I was here for it. I was like, yes, Harley, get yourself a good boyfriend. I love you,
no.
Rick, and I'm why the fuck did he have to die?
And I like
son of a bitch.
They made a very clear point on this one of just not going, yes, he died in an explosion or something. It was like, no, there is a piece of thing through his heart.
Yes.
Like, he is categorically fucking dead.
But you know what? I had no idea about this Peacemaker series. So then when the post-credits thing, I'm like, oh, please, is it Rick? Did they find Rick? Is he alive? And I'm like, oh, that fucking cunt? No. I was so mad.
Apparently the Peacemaker series is a prequel. So it's
why did he have to be alive at the end of the movie then?
I don't know.
Fuck that guy. Fuck that sausage man.
I did like Harley's story with the president, El Presidente, and
That was great. That was
a weird side track. Like,
it was, but I kind of dug it.
Yeah. Like, that was a good kind of way to tie up those sort of loose ends. This is why I sort of think every character had been thought out, I believe, in this sort of film. Like, sometimes, here's a good explanation for you. The first Suicide Squad movie, The Enchantress. You remember her?
Yeah.
What's her brother's name?
Sorry, I'm doing my Enchantress dance. That's and apparently it's affecting my fucking internet.
Yeah, there was the Enchantress and her brother that she rescued that became the big tube of stuff in the sky. No one knows. So at least we knew in this one where the villain was and what their motivations were.
Yeah.
And all of these kinds of, things that went along with it. Like, we got this kind of thing.
And I like that there are multiple villains and they all have different motivations that all kind of intersect.
Yeah. They have different agendas and everything like that. And it's kind of like slightly refreshing, not looking too deep into it. But also I also like that they backed it up with, no, we didn't send superheroes in to rescue your country. We sent criminals in who do not have any idea what they're doing. And they will make mistakes, but we also don't care because you're not our country, or, you know, we can cover this up, or it's just someplace else, which they reference to. So I really kind of enjoyed that ideology that, hey, big governments do some pretty shitty, terrible things to cover their own ass because they only like it if they're making a profit or gains out of it. And it was a nice backstory to have on top of all these people that we were learning with on the way.
And I also like that Waller as a thing is very much the instrument of corporate or governmental overreach and evil. Like in the past, in some versions, you can almost kind of go with, oh, she's doing this for the right reason. Like she's doing it to make sure that humanity survives. In this one, she's just a fucking nasty piece of work.
She's just a drone strike.
Yep.
Because drone strike in human form. And that was fine. And that's why I think it got to that point where there was a rebellion, again, like the mutiny against her by people, because it is like, okay, everyone, let's just understand that this is too far, that you can't do this shit.
Like you, and also I like that her level of evil is the kind of evil that we, you know, it's the inaction of people. And it's the kind of thing of going, okay, well, look, we can let a small South American nation be overrun by an alien invasion. That's not a huge problem. Like, we'll, you know, I'm sure that she's probably going, oh, well, we'll just get the Justice League in to fix that later or something. But what we need to really fix is the fact that we are culpable.
Yeah. What we need to fix is the evidence that it was
us. Yeah, we just need to cover up that we had any involvement.
And that's it's kind of like, it's an interesting thing, but then you're also doing it with jokes and weird people doing weird shit.
Yeah.
Like,
killing
off all the rebels, which I thought was great. It's like, we are the best at this. We're going to do this and we're going to take all these people out and we're going to do that. And they go, wait, these are freedom fighters. They rescued me. It's like, ha! I like that. That was great.
So dark.
That's like, dark.
Frustrating too.
Like it's kind of, that's kind of fun. Also,
It is. And that dick measuring contest between Bloodshot and, Bloodsport.
Bloodsport. It's just Bloodshot. Like Blood whatever. Blood
dude. Sportshot.
Blood dude.
Sports DM. Master. No, that's a different character.
No, different.
Taskmaster.
Yeah, different character.
Dead Sport.
I think we're making a whole bunch of new characters here that somebody in DC is going to steal.
No, it's just two lists of those words that you just draw lines between until you make up a name. That's how
Sport,
they do it.
Master, shot.
Yeah. Kill Dozer.
I like that one. Kill Dozer.
That's an actual thing. Do you not know Kill Dozer?
No.
Oh, look it up.
It sounds like an anti-sleep medication.
No. if you're ever interested in actual real life stuff, look up Killdozer about the guy who made an armored bulldozer to take out his government, like in Colorado. It's amazing. They couldn't stop it. He committed suicide inside it.
Jesus.
But it's like they couldn't get into it. They couldn't stop it. It just went on a rampage in Colorado. Killdozer is amazing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, look it up.
Documentary.
Yeah. We're talking about the Suicide Squad, and I'm like, no, this actually happened. Someone did this, which is even more insane. So who cares about the giant shark?
I do want to talk about Starro. Starro is a character, or a concept that creeps me the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think they did a really good job of making Starro in this one sit right on the fine line between horror and goofy. Like, you know, when Starro was wandering around and it looks like a dude in a suit going,
that, like, okay, you know, Starro as a concept sounds kind of funny and comic booky. And then I like the fact that James Gunn took that and went, no, it's actually terrifying and awful because
it's horror.
Just like Aliens, like, and I'm talking Aliens, the film, not Aliens in general. If you try to take it off, it kills the host.
That one and little that description where it's like everything from that star down is dead.
Yeah.
You're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those
oh my
are the
God. And like the lab with like the body that was just kind of like hanging and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And so that is quite amazing to have that and to turn that into a character that shoots fucking mini versions of itself out of its armpit. You know, it sounds goofy and like, you know, stupid. And then when you think about the consequences, you're like, oh, that's not right at all.
Yeah. And I do like the idea that Waller is like, oh, this is obviously a big world threatening problem, but I'm still going to cover my own ass first.
Yeah.
Like I'll America must not be implicated.
Yeah. And that's because that's her job. She knows that in the big government organization, someone else will have the job of stopping Starro. She's just got to make sure she goes, she can report back and be like, yeah, so anyway, we stopped any evidence of it. We are involved with it. So carry on.
Yeah. If you want to just send the Justice League in on this one or the Justice Society or fucking anyone, they can do the big job. But I've made sure that we clean because I've used the chucks of the superhero world, the thing you clean up spills with.
Yeah. So it was,
I mean, I feel like there were a lot of smaller concepts in this movie that would have been more interesting to explore as a whole film instead of throwing all of this stuff together. Like if they'd lent harder into that, the government is compartmentalized in terms of we're the ones that like sneak in through the back door, remove any evidence, you know, wipe down all the guns, get rid of the fingerprints, and then the heroes go in and save the day. Like maybe lean in a bit harder with that narrative. And
see, that would have been really interesting if the end of the film had ended or you know, the Starro facing off against a Superman or a Justice League or like some kind of big power thing.
Or even tonally, like the themes of the movie could have been like if it went more horror in that whole like eldritch terror of what the fuck is a Starro, and then like the body horror of the people in the labs with the experiments and stuff. Like that could have been a really cool idea for a part of the film too.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I saw that they were doing Starro, because they kept that under wraps for quite a long time until right near release, and then there's a giant fucking Starro, you know, in the middle of London or whatever it is. I was like, oh, shit, okay, we're doing Starro, because that's something that I find really disturbing, and it's sort of, you know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers and all that kind of stuff. And it's big sci-fi things. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Tonally, that's a weird thing to kind of put into this quite grounded thing.
It kind of did feel a little bit out of place for me.
Like it didn't feel like it worked. Storyline-wise, it worked.
Yeah, but like it might have overcomplicated it. Like there could have been a simpler answer to how the story wraps up than, you know, giant star monster. And that could have been like a completely separate movie. I don't know. I just felt there might have been a little bit of confusion with the story, especially when it took so long to actually introduce all the Starro stuff right at the end. Like it was a solid, like strong movie of like espionage and, you know, trade relations between countries and all that kind of stuff. And then you just kind of like throw in Starro and the Thinker at the end. It felt a bit throwaway.
Also, I kind of go, how did, you know, they had this thing that they'd kept that's that big underground and then it got out and I was like, how big was that facility? You know, that's a bit, sure, like, you know, I mean, yeah, sure, there's issues with it, although I think it would have detracted from the ability to group and solidify the Suicide Squad as a team had the Justice League just flown in and did all the heavy lifting, and then they just go, well, I guess we can fucking just go back to jail now.
Yeah, but I think that, like, to me, there's a certain fucking delicious irony in that. That these are the people who are actually doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones who are...
Of releasing Starro.
Well, I mean, it requires a serious rewrite. But sure. If they're the one who are actually taking Starro out and it's, you know, they're doing it sort of from behind the scenes or whatever, as opposed... And yet the world is seeing Superman and the Justice League fighting the giant alien star monster, not knowing that there is these bad guys underneath it trying to, you know, keep the world. To me, that's kind of a little bit more interesting. Like, it's sort of saying these are the janitors of the world.
Yeah, and it solidifies the concept, you know, that these are the ones that go in and do the dirty work and they don't get the glory because they are all criminals.
Yeah, and what happened, you know, just because they killed a bunch of freedom fighters along the way doesn't mean that the job still didn't get done. And that's what we all learned here.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, do we want a Peacemaker show? No.
I don't think we need one in this day and age.
I want a Rick Flag and Harley Quinn show.
Flag and Quinn together at last.
Yeah, I'm Devo.
Yeah. I want to see how the fuck Polka Dot Man got that infection.
I don't. His mother gave it to him. It's disgusting, Quinny.
Yeah, it is. But I'm like, why? Why? How?
I mean,
I need to know. And he has siblings. What's wrong with them?
I kind of feel it's a bit strange because, like, if they translate stuff like this into a television show, I have The Boys. I've got a TV show about shitty superheroes at the moment. I don't really know if I want to see more of the Peacemaker for any kind of reason. Like, there was nothing in the film that made me go, that deserves a TV show.
Yeah, exactly.
Apart from just the
personality. Especially when he's got the same sort of attitude as fucking Homelander.
Unless it is one of those things of how does a man become that?
Sure.
But, yeah.
But really, do you care? Yeah.
Michael and Meat Shield are saying in the chat the stuff about Polka Dot Man's mother. Like, that's the problem I had with the stereotypical generalization of mothers. Like, he said his mother was a scientist that worked at Star Labs. To me, in my mind, that's not a, you know, a middle America soccer mom with, like, extremely exaggerated wide hips and tuck shop arms. Like, that doesn't read to me. I had problems with that image stereotyping of women as mothers.
Yeah, that the mother is the nagging, horrible, you know, mentally abusive sort of, yeah. No, I can go along with that. It was definitely played for a laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
And it was an easy laugh. It was
but it's also a laugh at a body image. And I think... We're a bit more mature than that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, audiences should be treated a little bit more intelligence than just cheap laughs like that.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Agreed.
I mean, I was a little disappointed that I don't get to see some of those characters do a little bit more. Like, you know, I want to know about Javelin.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I mean. I would have liked to have seen, like the TDK gets a moment.
What did TDK stand for again?
The detachable kid.
Detachable kid. Oh my God.
Because he can make his arms detach and then they float along and then they
just bitch slap people.
But I love that when the military shot the arms, he's like, oh God. Oh, ah,
God. Ah. It's so fucking stupid.
Exactly. The thing I like the most about the detachable kid is that they had like action figure pop-offs.
Yes. Like sockets.
Yes. I was just like,
oh my God.
Amazing.
I mean, and I like the weasel because he was weird. Like, and I also, like, I just love in my
brain, weasel's ready for a sequel.
My headcanon that was Sean Gunn licking the window while everyone stood around going,
yep.
Fuck. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I want to see all of those kind of people.
Do you want to see more of Australian film and television actor Jai Courtney?
Oh, he's had his time.
Look, there was a part of me that was kind of like, oh shit, you killed Captain Boomerang. How, what? And then I was like, no, you totally killed Captain Boomerang. Good work.
No, it's fine. You can kill Captain Boomerang. Yeah. I mean, you had to release him so that he can go and become the Kurgan in the Highlander reboot. So,
wash your fucking mouth out.
What do you mean, Quinny? Don't you want to see Australian film and TV actor Jai Courtney as the Kurgan? G'day.
Don't like you
I'm
anymore.
The Kurgan. I'm from Eastern Europe. Bonza. That's what you want to see.
You got to wonder if Margot Robbie had a hard time trying to keep that weird American accent when you're in the same room as Jai Courtney.
Yeah. No, you. What's his name?
Film and television actor Jai Courtney.
Thank you.
House.
G'day, Margs. How you doing? Fuck are you? Yeah. Oh, dear. No, I'm sure that we
don't. Mitch Shield makes an interesting point there. Like, you know, do you find Polka Dot Man's mother's complex funny? No, kind of sad.
It's such a sad and tired stereotype and trope.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. But at the same time, I found like his whole thing of the weird glowing pustules and stuff really creepy and interesting. And I was like, do more with that.
Just running off into the jungle in the middle of the night to throw up polka dots.
Yeah. Yeah. I've just got to expel them
somehow.
I agree. I think Javelin, there should have been perhaps another bit. Like, if you're going to do a Deus Ex Machina thing with the magical Javelin, maybe.
Show it in action.
I don't know. Sorry?
Show it in action. There was absolutely no reason that they could not have fought a bit more interestingly and had a better action sequence at the start of that film, because they could have.
Yeah. They could have actually been shown to be quite competent and cool and things like that, even though their powers are stupid and weird.
Yeah, but just been overwhelmed by the numbers, and that's okay, you know. I like that a couple of them got away and stuff. But, yeah, look, I mean, I feel like I'm picking at threads to this whole jumper that is the Suicide Squad. Is it better than Suicide Squad? Fuck yes.
Fuck yes.
Is it better than, you know, fucking half the DC films that have come out recently? Yes.
Yes.
You know, it's not supposed to be Shazam. Shazam is funny because it's cool and quirky. But this one's funny because it's kind of like, ha-ha, oh, wait.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's funny because it's dark and twisted.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's good. You know, is it better than Batman Superman? Yep.
Oh, God, yeah.
Better than Justice League? Even the Snyder Cut? Sure. It's better than all the Justice League ones. No, I'm not watching it again.
Snyder Cut.
I quite like the Snyder Cut, but anyway. Then.
Oh, which chapter of the Snyder Cut when we're going to get really down to it? Fucking all right then, okay.
What are we talking about on Friday?
What are we
doing? That's a good question, Jill.
What is Friday?
It's the 13th.
Time to get your spook on. So before we get to October, we have a Friday's the 13th.
So spoopy.
Yes.
Very excited.
Oh, my God. I have to just share a quick story with you. When I was in high school, we had a girl in a few of my classes, bit of an airhead. There was a Friday the 13th coming up, and the teacher mentioned something about a project being due on that Friday. She's like, oh, but it's a public holiday. And we were like, I'm sorry, what? No, we're coming to school on Friday. She's like, no, but it's the 13th. I'm like, and she's like, isn't Friday the 13th public holiday?
Like, it is now. Thanks. I'll take it.
Yes.
Sure.
Nice work, lady.
No. You should have just gone, yep. Yeah. And she would have just been like, oh, I don't have to go to school today, until they ring and like, where the fuck are you? It's like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
So, Quinny, I'm going to assign an accent for you for Friday.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm doing Friday, am I? Cool. Yeah. Right.
Gomez.
Vincent Price.
Oh,
Vincent
damn it.
Price.
I was going to say Gomez Adams.
Do you mean as in new Gomez Adams that is going to be played by Luis Guzman, I think it is?
Luis Guzman, yes. Oh, God, fuck. Yes, but I want you to do it as Luis Guzman from the early 2000s movie Waiting. He is the chef from Waiting, but playing Gomez Adams on a show about, what's the topic, Jill?
Intermediate horror.
Intermediate horror. We've done a horror, the beginner's horror podcast, so you can go back and refresh your mind on that. This is intermediate.
So this is like a bridge to applied horror.
Yes, or, a bridge to applied horror.
We AP have a, horror.
Yeah.
Should we give, well, we haven't, people might want homework if you want to do your homework for it. What are we going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about Freaky. What was the other one?
Not Freaky Friday. Werewolves Within.
Werewolves Within, yes.
And a insert choice here from anyone who's joining us.
Anyone who's joining can like bring along their own things to talk about.
Right.
But the homework is Freaky and Werewolves Within.
Yeah.
Okay. So not a problem.
It's kind of horror comedy or homedy?
Comedy.
As intermediate. Like, you know, you've got intro that we did, which was, what do you say, Sabrina?
Yeah, we talked about Sabrina.
Oh, right. The House of the House on Hill, Haunting Hill. What was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
As like your
Suspiria.
And Suspiria, yeah. As like intro to horror, like try and get through. Yeah. This is like intermediate, where it's like, you know, it's not just full on stuff, because Freaky is kind of a horror comedy.
Okay, so Freaky is available on Foxtel.
Yes.
And I think it's on Amazon Prime as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you can rent it for $19 on a bunch of other ones, but...
Freaky, I watched... I'm three quarters of the way through. I got interrupted, but I'm actually having a really good time.
It's so fun. It's such a good movie.
In this, in the kind of like, Vince Vaughn is better than I thought he would be. in that.
That isn't hard, because I have a fairly low opinion of Vince Vaughn, so...
Sure. You didn't like Jurassic Park, The Lost World?
Correct.
I forgot he was in that movie.
We forgot a lot of things.
Wedding Crashers?
Sure.
And Werewolves Within is available on Prime Video.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime.
Which I haven't seen yet. I'm looking forward to crunching that out at some point. Yeah,
that is also
fun. And come dressed in the best dark black clothing that you can think of. We will be
all
as well.
All black or very dark shades of green.
Yeah, yes. All of those things.
Sure. And then, so that'll be Friday for a quick chat in the evening.
Yes.
And then next week is...
I'm looking forward to What If tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that. Yes. And, I mean, as always, feel free... add yourselves or request to be added to the periodic table group chats of Marvel, DC, Star Wars. There has been discussion. A few people have requested just a general chat. We'll see how we go with that one. There has been other people saying, no, don't want that. So we'll work that out.
Just you know, you can always just chat on the page or whatever.
Yes,
but yeah, always tell us, and we do take requests. There have been some requests that have come through, which is very nice. You can always do that and tell us what you'd like us to talk about.
Yes,
and but you know, I just want to maintain one thing that is like not series. We can do a series.
We've got to have a bit of time.
Need a lot of lead time.
Yeah, yeah, in a month, you know, like let's give it that and a Discord. Sure, lots of other things to manage. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
We're all learning. We should be old hands at it now. We started this as an experiment back in when we stopped getting together to do podcasts, and now it's video. Now we just do it from our house.
I know. We've been doing this for over 12 months now.
Yeah. It's been weird. It's been a weird time of lockdown. I don't know how it's going to go if we ever get back in the same room to be doing it together. This could be strange.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know where to look.
Wouldn't you?
No. What do I do with my feet?
I would just be looking for a mirror so I can make eye contact with myself, because that's how these videos work for me.
All right.
I just sit here checking myself out.
I was going to say, admittedly, that is probably the way to do it, Jill, because looking at us is quite frankly, not as good as looking at you.
No, it's quite true. Usually I've got to look at Quinny and it's just fucking, it's painful.
I'm sorry. Especially when I...
Yeah. Fuck you.
How are we going to freeze in person?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How? What am I going to buffer in real life? Thank you, Amy, for putting the links to those groups in the chat there. That is awesome.
Yes, thanks for everyone in the chat tonight.
They're a fun way of discussing about all the things that you've seen, and you'd see things about like the new Spider-Man images that have come out from the film and stuff, which is very exciting.
Shit post your memes.
Yes. Realistically, memes. It's 99% memes.
Yes. Yeah. 99% shitposting memes. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Why not?
Oh, yes. Thank you for joining us. It was fun.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Quinny.
Thanks, Jill.
Thanks, Jill. Thanks, chat team.
Yeah. You've been, all of you in our chat, as always, lovely. I do notice that we haven't had Casper there tonight because Casper would have been like handing out those subs like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He is MVP all the way. But he is actually out at a cinema watching the film tonight.
Jesus, why would you leave your house? Son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. Well, look, you know, if you're bored, just get back in there and fill out the census.
That's what I'm doing now.
That's what you got to go do now. All right, we'll see you. Go fill out your census, guys. See you all on Friday.
We're going to go and raid Jordan, but thank you. And we'll see you Friday.
Bye.
Bye. I don't want to miss another birthday party or any day in between. I picture us holding hands when we're older, though it's probably just a dream. Cause life is so busted. Life is so busted. My car is so busted. Life, I'm so busted. And I just wanted to be loved by you, by you. I just wanted to be loved by you.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.